So, you can start my presentation. So we have our, and you guys, I didn't have like up-to-date pictures. I do have one now. So if you want to update your pictures, there's one at the table over there. So grab one. They're there for you. As you know, I'm also pastoring with another pastor, Steve. So we're both equals. We have this bizarre kind of working relationship. And so he's taking care of Connection Church while I'm gone. And then we do that back and forth. So if you can just show up the picture of Steve and his family. So that, and Steve, was Steve here? No, not yet. So really blessed to be with the Cloutier family.
He has been here.
Awesome. All right. Yeah, maybe not on a Sunday. So, Connection Church, that's the name. Where are we? Let me just give you a brief reminder of what's going on. So, Plessisville, the world capital of maple syrup, is right between, or right in dead center of Quebec. So, that would be the center of Quebec. That's how we'd call it, really original. And that's really dead between Montreal and Quebec City. And so that's our region. And that region is further divided into counties. And so our county is called the Maple County. And we are the maple capital, the world capital of maple syrup. So you get the drift, right? So that's where we are. Plessisville, on the next slide, you'll see is quite a beautiful little town. I didn't know about Plessisville before 2001, and I got somebody to show me around, and wow, this is pretty a nice spot. So on the top left is our building. So it's mortgage free, completely renovated. So that's a real blessing for our congregation to have that. We're right in front of the arena, which is like the new Mecca, or the Mecca, and people play hockey. That's what goes on in Quebec. Right beside the high school also. So that's a nice spot. And as you know, well, Quebec is strongly Catholic, right? And very postmodern. Catholicism is an identity much more than a practice. So that's also... has its challenges when you're speaking about faith. And so anything outside of Catholicism will be considered a sect, even if you're talking about the same Bible, the same Jesus. No, this is wrong. We can't hear you. And especially in rural areas. So Plessisville is definitely a spiritually dark place. But God has given us a vision for our people. And so our vision... we feel incorporates, you can go to the next slide, and the next one as well. These two regions, so you see the l'érable, okay, so if you want to remember an important word, érable means maple. So you need to know that word. So érable, that's our county, and just beside it, it's the hardwood county, Bois-Franc. And so those two counties, they function as one. The school board is one, the radio is one. So yes, there are two administrative regions, but they function as one. And we feel that God is calling us to that region. And so that's a population roughly of 93,000 people. Those are, we feel, the people that God is calling us to serve. The Christian context, on the next slide, you'll see, we have roughly... go back one. That's the correct slide. So there are four churches for a total of maybe 500 people. That's 0.5% of the population that is Christian. All churches that can be roughly put in the Christian. So it's not even fellowship churches. So you're taking all the churches that are have a sound doctrine or close enough. There are four churches. That's 0.5% of the total population. That is one Christian for every 200 people. That is one church for every 18,000 people. Missiologists will say that under 2%, a region is considered unreached. So we definitely dream of reaching the 2%. And to reach 2% would mean that we would need around 1,800 people to turn to Christ in faith. That would mean 8 new churches of 150 people. There is a lot of work to do in that area. And that area is just not different than any other area in Quebec, really. So there is really a darkness. And it's right here in Canada. So we are working at this by God's grace. And we have 3 connection points. Our first is we want to try really to connect people with Jesus. That is the utmost important. That is what people need. And so connecting with Jesus through sermons, through sharing testimonies, and the things like that. That is so important. So that's the first reason also we're called Connection Church. The second connection point is connecting people with one another. That is also so important. So we will use things like a sugar shack party. We will use things like corn on a cob. I don't know how. Do you guys do that? You get together and have corn on the cob party or cookout or something like that. We'll use all these things that are also very ingrained in the culture and connect people together. Have the Christians build relationships together. That's really important. And connecting people to the city. That is also of great importance. And love your neighbor. That is one of the main ministries we have. And Love Your Neighbor really helped us be put on the map in Plessisville. We were like, people often are, if you understand a bit of the Catholic history, especially in Quebec, I don't know if it was like that elsewhere, but the religion was there to take. The priest came and took. And people need to know that you're there to go and take. And not to take, to give. People need to realize that. If you're just there to grow your thing, to become big at their expense, if you're there to do something for you and not them, you're just like whatever else they've known, and they will have none of it. They need to know that you are there for them, and you're not even selling them Jesus. If you want to sell them Jesus, they smell it and they're out. They need Jesus. They do know. But if you want to sell them something, that doesn't work. Because you obviously can't sell Jesus. But also, it's because Jesus is deeply what they need. But it can also be, if you're not careful, you want them to buy into Jesus because they come to your church. They grow your number. They give you, and you can see how that can be twisted, right? So they need to see genuine love, that you are there for them before there is any hint that they can bring something to you. So that is the challenge. And I think that is so, Jesus incarnated that so much, didn't he? By coming and giving everything. So we just want His Spirit to infuse us that much. So love your neighbor is actually a great way to do that. And so like I mentioned in Sunday school, people sign up, they go on a website, they say, hey, I have this thing I need to be done, these windows to be washed, this porch to be painted, this wood to be stacked. And people sign up to be volunteers, and we just mix and match. And then people get people to come over to their homes. And it's like that everywhere. People will not let you into your house, in their house, very easily, right? You can't cross that door that quickly, that easily. But when you bring and offer help like that, people open up. You get in their homes. You get to share stories over a water break because it's really hot and you're sweaty because you're stacking their wood. And you get those really good connections. And that's awesome. And then I also mentioned this morning how you guys, the fact that you guys are Albertans, the fact that you guys are English speaking, the fact that you've got so many things going for you when you come over. You guys don't know that, right? but you don't understand what a mind-boggling, undescribable vision it is for a French-speaking Quebecer to have an Albertan English-speaking person in their home washing their window. Do you understand how there is no category for that? It's amazing. It's amazing the conversations we have after that. It's amazing the rest that unfolds. And so, when you're considering a missions trip, a short-term mission trip, think of Plessisville. Think of us and how you guys can really be a help. So, if you're interested, and think of also the other side. You don't need a passport. You do not need extra insurance. It's just so easy. We're in your backyard. So, and you do get to take a plane. Or you can drive, but it's pretty far. But you don't cross an ocean. But so definitely think about that. It's a great way to come and serve and connect with us. We really did appreciate you guys sending a team over. It was just such a blessing. So we try to connect people with Jesus. We want to connect people with one another, and we want to connect with our city. But we also think that the gospel needs to shine farther. And so I'd like to share a special project that we have at Connection Church. It's a mission internship project. At our table, you'll see this flyer, and it presents Grant Nelson. Grant Nelson is a guy from Vancouver Island who would like to join Connection Church. Go join our team. He has a teacher's degree and is working right now in Vancouver. But he loves Quebec, and he speaks French really well. And so Grant has been coming to Quebec for the past 4 summers. He has been serving the Quebec churches as a youth missionary program director. He has been serving Connection Church. And now Grant has a heart for Quebec and feel that God is calling him to join Connection Church, to move to Quebec, to bring the gospel to the center of Quebec. And so we really believe that Grant will be great help for us in our next steps as we are thinking about how to bring the gospel further. We are actually thinking of how we think maybe that God is calling us to prepare for a next plant. So this is what I would like from you guys. I would like extra prayer support. I would like you guys to pray for Connection. Every time you touch Maple, pray for us. And there are Maple candies over there. So connect that with your taste buds so that your taste buds, oh yeah, I have to pray for Quebec. And adopt Grant. Adopt Grant. Pray for him. Sign up. There's a sheet where you can sign up to receive a newsletter. Go over there and write your name down so that we can send you a newsletter, ideally through email. And we also need $15,000. You knew that was coming, right? So actually, I would like 30 people who are ready to give $500. That's what we think we need to make the project with Grant a reality. It's a missionary internship of 1 year, and we think that it can prepare, set the ground for a liftoff pad that can bring us closer to reaching Los Quebecers. So let me close this short presentation by expressing my sincere thanks. You are, in a way, I hope you know it, holding a rope that is allowing us to go deep down in Quebec's spiritually dark places and reach Quebecers. And you are doing that. You are holding a rope when you are praying for us, when you're eating Maple, when you are financially assisting us, and when you are encouraging us by any other mean. So thank you for having me here this morning. Thank you for giving me this honor for me to address you. Yes, so come and visit that booth over there at the end. Now, let me share what really boils in my heart, the Word of God. And I would like to share something from Romans 8. And when we are talking about missions, we cannot not talk about prayer, right? Prayer is not only the way Christians breathe, it is also how the mission gets done. Amen from the missionaries? Amen from the rest of the Christians? Everybody knows that, right? And Jesus said it, for without me you can do hardly anything. No, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. So prayer is really so important. And as much as prayer is important, we need the indispensable help of the Spirit, don't we? If you've tried prayer, you know and you understand how inhumane that is, right? So let us spend a few moments and remind ourselves about a truth that will help us pray in the Spirit. Would you like that? I hope you would. So in Romans 8, starting at verse 15, it's right behind me, it is. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the heart of the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Oh yeah, I jumped a few verses. Sorry. Verse 26 and 27. And that is God's word. So to pray in the Spirit, there is something absolutely indispensable that you need, right? You need, as verse 15 says, you need to be able to speak like a toddler to God. You need to use that really intimate child-parent talk. Hey, Papa. Hey, Daddy. Abba, Father. That's what it's talking. That is what Paul is saying here. We have received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters, by whom we cry, just like a toddler would. To pray in the Spirit, you need to know deep down you are adopted. It's the only way you can cry out, Daddy, Papa. If you are adopted, but you feel that your adopted parent is not your parent, it will be very hard to talk to them by saying, Mommy, Daddy, will it not be? I've got the paper, the certificate, I'm adopted. I just don't feel it. So, you know, that is going to affect your relationship with that parent. And so accordingly, Paul says, you need to know you're adopted. And you need to feel you are adopted. How else are you going to be able to cry out to God that way? And so that doesn't that go along the same lines as what Jesus was saying? This is how you should pray. Our Father. Our Father. You go to God as a son, as a daughter, as an adopted, fully included in God's family. That is how God, the Bible, Jesus, Paul is saying we should pray. This is an absolutely revolutionary idea. When you look at all other religions, even Judaism, which is based on the Old Testament, they did not see God as their father. Did you realize that? When Jesus was talking to the religious leaders at his time, They were scandalized to hear Jesus talk about God as his father. For them, Abraham was their father, but not God. That would be outrageous to call God their father. For a Jew, Yahweh was the God of their fathers, but it was not their father. God wasn't the father. So needless to say that when Jesus said that their father was the devil, they did not appreciate, right? So the point is, it's absolutely pretentious to say God was your father for them. And it's absolute pretentious for any religion to really say that. We can be, and you're allowed to say, I'm God's servant. You can say, I'm his worshiper. But his child? Come on. What? A child of the God of the universe. Really? That means you're his hire, right? Is that the way you say it in English? Yeah? That means all he is, all that it's his is yours. Whoa, no. This is like, can it really be true? Come on, this is too much, no? Let's go back to something more comfortable. Let me be a servant. Let me be a worshiper. But a child of God, of the creator of the universe? Come on. We're pushing it, no? This is too much. It's too radical. So let's go back to something safer. But it also means that the relationship, if that is true, the relationship with that God will not be that of an employee master. It will be that of a father or a parent and child. It will be a relationship of high intimacy. All religions, you see, present a way to live that will try to put God in your debt. If you do enough, God will have to let you in heaven. If you're good enough, God will answer your prayers. Spend a good week, and then you get to ask. Have a bad week, and don't you dare ask. Right? All religions say if you evolve enough, if you grow inwardly sufficiently, if you build enough positive energy, if you work on yourself, if, like we would say, if you grow in sanctification, you will be able to get to the next level. You'll be able to get answers prayer. You'll be able to, this will bring you something more. But Jesus' message is radically different. It's not another flavor of the same sauce. It's not like anything else. It's so different. So different. Jesus had all the love, all the approbation, all the glory of God. And he came to earth as a big brother saying, I'm here to adopt sisters and brothers. He came saying, all that is mine is yours. He came saying, our Father, our Father. If you say to God, hey, please accept me in your family because Jesus invited me and he said he took care of everything, meaning he broke the curse that was holding me captive. He paid my ransom. If you say that to God, if you say, God, I know I don't meet up to the standards of your family. But Jesus said that he took care of all my failures. Let me be your child, please. Then you know what God will say? With great joy, he will say, let you be my child. Blessed child, come into this family. This is the essence, make no mistake, of what Christianity is. It is first and foremost being, not doing. Imagine the president. Who is allowed to wake up the president in the middle of the night? You have to be two kinds of people. Either you are the army general and there is a national security crisis. You get to wake the president up. Or you can be his child. And there are scary monsters under the bed. You are allowed to wake up the president. Now, let's pretend that you think you are the likes of an army general because you're leading God's people in mission and stuff. And so, you know, let's say, will an army general wake up the president for anything? It needs to be a national security crisis, no? It needs to be important. So even if you're a general, an army general, you don't even get to wake up the president for a glass of water because you're thirsty. But if you're his child, you get that access to God, your father. Isn't that cool? My friend, do you see that if you meditate on that, if you chew on that reality and have that nutrient go deep down in you and it just like starts having something that is going to stir your heart and kind of shake off that hardness and, oh, could it be true? Is that possible? And, you know, something starts to happen and all of a sudden maybe you're kind of praying, talking intimately with God. Meditate on this. Pray like a child. That is Christian prayer. You know what? I could even add that looking at your prayer life will give you a powerful hint to see if you're a Christian. When you look at your prayer life, is there a language of intimacy? Remember what Jesus said to the people in Matthew 7? These people said, hey, Jesus, Jesus is talking about that. Hey, haven't we done this and that for you? And please let us in. And you know what God says? Not a chance. You're not welcome here. I don't know you. I don't know you. It's a relational term. It's not, oh, you didn't do enough. You didn't do this or that. I don't like how you spent your time during that week or that year or whatever. I don't know you. I don't know you. It's the knowing of God that counts, not the doing. And you know what? The doing always flows out of the knowing. Your identity tells you what you do. You don't do to become, right? So we could say, hey, wait a minute. Are you saying, Carl, do you mean to say that the kind of day I've had, the kind of week or the kind of month will not affect how favorable God is to me? And you know what? The answer, I was writing this down, and you know what? I was, you know, sometimes you can do stuff mechanically. I know this is true. Nah, nah. And then I just stopped and I. I have a problem with that. I'm saying this and I have a problem with it. You know, it's shocking. You know why? Because I do have a problem. It just doesn't fit in my categories. The fact of the unconditional acceptance of God. What kind of other relationship do you have that prepares you for that one? None. And so it is shocking. We have a hard time getting this in. That's why you need to meditate. You know when you break your jaws on a French bread or on maple taffy or you know stuff. You need to chew at that stuff. Or I really like also beef jerky. That's really cool. So, you know, you chew on that stuff, you know? You got to chew because it's hard to get in. That truth, you need to chew on it so that you can get it in. You know what? I'm a father, and I know one thing. At least. When my kids are pleasing me, I love them. And I feel like a father. Ah, these are my kids. I love them. I know you're my daughter. I'm your dad. I feel proud. But you know what? When my girls are displeasing me, and that happens sometimes, and they're disobeying, you know what? I feel even more like a father. You never feel your responsibility and your heart for your children. You never feel your undying loyalty to your children as you do when they are disobeying you. Parents, you know that is to be true. If my girls were my employees, I would have fired them a long time ago. But they are my children. And they cannot stop being my family. They just can't. There's nothing they can do that will demote them from that identity, that place in my heart, that favorable spot. You are my child. So if you understand that when you pray, you will experience marvelous things. When things are going bad in your life, you will not flee God's family, the church, or stay away from God. You will not do that. You will keep on praying. You will do that if you understand this truth. So you need to understand it before it gets hard, right? Because when it gets hard, it's too late. You need to understand that right now. And let me open a parenthesis here. You know discipline, right? You know this, I hope. It's one way that God shows us we have His favor. Right? J.D. Greer says it this way. There is nothing you can do that will make God love you more. And there is nothing you can do that will make God love you less. Do you get that? Why does God love you? Because of Jesus Christ. Because of what He's done, you get the benefit. If your equation is Jesus plus something, anything, you've got the wrong answer. It's Jesus plus nothing equals everything. That's the way it works. And so, you know, there's nothing you can do to stop being a precious child of God. And He will discipline you. But out of love and favor. Just like Hebrew 12 says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you like a child. His child. It's a good thing. Now, I understand it doesn't feel good on the moment. But never doubt. Sometimes I don't understand why this is happening. Maybe you don't, and maybe you never will. But know that it is at least not because you have lost His favor. And that changes everything. Even if you don't get an answer, if you know the answer is not that, then sometimes that's all you need, right? Now, if you know you have His favor, independently of your actions, will you live any which way? I tell you, only if you have no love for the Father. You will live any which way only if you have no love for the Father. Love makes you want to please your Father, your Heavenly Father. And get this, it is when you try to earn God's favor through your good works that God has no pleasure in you. You get that, right? When you are, and often that is one of the things I need to repent most. I need to repent the most of my good deeds. You understand why? Because I realize often that I am using them to perk myself up to God. I need to do that more often than the bad stuff I do. The bad stuff is really clear. But the good stuff is so twisted. And I'm using it so often to say, hey, Jesus, hey, God, can you answer this prayer? Look, you know, and you're kind of hinting and, you know. Oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry I did that. That's belittling what you've done when I do that. When I try to, you know, you get the idea, right? The cross has empowered us by seeing God's love to live the first commandment. Love your God. And that is the first of all the other commands. Do you understand how the love brings you to do? If you understand you are loved, then you do. Concentrate on being, and then the doing will be done. So to pray in the Spirit. And remember what the Spirit's job is, verse 16, to bear witness to our spirit that we are His. Read it. That's the Spirit's job. To bear witness to your spirit that you are His child. You are His. And when He does that, you need to listen, or else you're quenching the Spirit. Listen to what the Spirit is doing. So to pray in the Spirit, you need to let the Spirit do His job and tell you are a precious child of God. And so when you pray in the Spirit, you pray knowing and feeling you are a greatly loved child of God. And you're crying, Abba, Father, and you're having this intimate relationship with Him. And you're longing for a deep connection with your Heavenly Father. And when you're praying in the Spirit, you are knowing and feeling that preciousness, that you have His unwavering affection. Do you have that love from God in your heart? Not for, you know what? I wrote for God and I crossed it out and I wrote from God. Do you have that love from God? I'm not asking you, are you loving God? I'm not. Do you understand? Do you feel? Do you know you are precious and loved? And maybe you say, I once did. Now it's weak. Or maybe it's gone. If the Father opened His arms to the prodigal son, how much more will He open them to you? And if it's your case, and if you feel like that this morning, you can pray like this. You know, Father, forgive me for quenching your spirit, for drowning the work of the Spirit in my life, who is saying to me, you are a child of God. You are precious. I love you. I will not abandon you. I will not forsake you. I have completely adopted you. Forgive me for not trusting you when you say I am a child of God. For not trusting you how unconditional everything is. And maybe you have never received the love of God this morning and you're here, and bless you if you are. Well, you know what? You can right now. You can right now. How? It starts by welcoming God's proof of His love to you. And you know what that is? That is the cross. The cross is where God goes all in for you. And He says, you know, I'm ready to give it all. That's why Jesus went on the cross. And the Bible says that God so loved you that He went all in and gave Jesus. He did that to make you His child. If you embrace that truth in your heart, if you chew on it with your mind, if you let your heart be filled with the love of God, if you do that and you say, Lord, just make me a child of yours, He will say, welcome in the family. So, may the Spirit bear witness to our spirit that we are loved by Him. And may that make us prayers in the Spirit. Forgive the syntax. Let us pray like children right now. Oh, Lord Jesus, Father God, blessed, holy Father, we want to worship you. We want to say how indescribable we see this love, how we have a hard time actually really believing it to the extent it should be believed. We have a hard time, Lord. But we are finite creatures. You are such infinite. And so just by understanding that you are persistent in showing us your love, we adore you and we thank you that you have adopted us in your family. I ask that the Spirit may work powerfully in us to make this truth glow in our hearts. Lord, I pray for the missionaries that were here, and may you bless them wherever they go. May you remind them powerfully of who they are so that they can be your servants and your children in action wherever you're sending them. And Lord, I pray for Bethany, and I pray that you bless this church and that you keep on with your Spirit pouring down blessing upon blessing, truth upon truth that will just ignite their hearts and make them passionate for you. Lord Jesus, oh, we love you and are so grateful for these truths. Amen.